This is
Positively Hygiene
with your host, Amber Lovatos,
Amy Parenti,
and Angela Doe.
Listen on as we dive into the positive of dental hygiene. If y'all hear me shivering through this podcast, it's because Angela lowered the AC super low.
I didn't touch it. You touched it. No, I wanted it lower.
Probably.
I like it cozy. I like it cozy. So I've learned to give office managers some grace. and that's only because of my experience as an office manager. So at my previous job for many, many years, I also, as being the main hygienist there, I wasn't the office manager like of everything, but I was the clinical operations manager, but pretty much acted like an office manager, where when I left, people were like, who's going to be the office manager? And I, you know, now knowing like the different, it was a small office. It was like 10 people max, I guess 10 people I would quote unquote manage. But I learned a lot. I learned, you know, how things run in the front, the back, all together, scheduling, insurance, everything. And so when sometimes there's like communication that's not met when I'm temping or at a different practice, I don't get upset, you know, because I know that they're juggling different things and that sometimes it can get missed, as long as it's not like payroll or something. Then, you know, it's okay. Cause they're going through a lot. Or if there's days where maybe they're a little bit more testy, it could be because something they had to deal with a patient. I've gone through a lot as an office manager. I wasn't a perfect office manager. So by no means, I learned a lot along the way too. I had people call me mean, that I was like, well, I wasn't even an office manager at this point. I was just like training people. And someone told the office manager at that time that I was one of the meanest people they have ever met. And certainly I learned my route on how to manage as well, because I didn't go to a class. I didn't do a business class for it. I sort of learned along the way, and I learned from what I saw, and some people's tactics weren't the best, but I didn't know any better. So that's what I did. So it was a lot of trial and error. And also on top of that, every person is different, right? Every person communicates differently. So you have to change yourself, because it was a little bit of HR too. Yeah. You have to be able to please in a way and make people happy. So I was never the best. And eventually it got tiring for me. It wore on me to where like I just wanted to focus on being a hygienist.
I was at a Home Goods this week, and the manager screamed at me and my husband. So basically, we went up to like pay, and we're like, hey, we're going to get a sofa. And the guy at the register says, oh, yeah, just get like one of those cart things, the flatbed carts, and pick it up. And I was like, okay, cool. So he and I went over there, and we picked up the sofa, and the manager's like, don't do that. Like, we're going to get in trouble. Like, I could get in trouble for that. And we're like, well, I mean, we're just doing what we were told. Like, we thought the guy was going to help us, but he said, like, do it yourself. So we're doing it ourselves, you know? Anyways, so she picks it up with one of her employees, and she tells her employees, she's like, you know what? You have this problem. You have this problem where you don't know how to put things down straight. And I was like, whoa, I would not let her talk to me like that. I was already like not okay with her telling me, like getting mad at us for doing something we were already told. And then there's some other employees like rearranging stuff. She's like, what are y'all doing? And they're like, what? And she's like, ugh. And she like makes us like, ugh, them, they're always doing something or like, you know, bothered. And then like they go outside and the help is like put the sofa in their truck. And like two of the girls are like lifting it up, and it's like two men are like, no, you too. The third one, you gotta put hands on too. Like very kind of like aggressive kind of communication. And
in
like,
front of customers too.
In front of customers, I was like, I'm gonna leave you a negative review. Like that's like I wanna do. Because I feel like these employees probably like can't like speak up or say anything. And I understand like safety, right? But there is a way to communicate with people where you can be safe but also respectful.
Yeah.
We are adults. I would treat you with respect. But you gotta treat me with respect too.
Yeah.
And yeah, just like the passive aggressive, like, you know, like comments to me. That's just how people were like, oh, maybe that's just how she is. I'm like, I don't care. I had a boss who, well, she actually wasn't my boss. I had a coworker who was very, very aggressive, and did become get into a leadership role. And people were like, well, that's just, you know, how she is. That's not an excuse.
Yeah. And maybe they don't know any better. Cause I just see, as you're saying this, I'm like, that could have been me, you know, but I just didn't know any better. And I needed someone to tell me like, hey, that's not right.
And I'll say, like, when I started off as director, I was director of a nonprofit dental clinic. I was also clinic coordinator at University of Texas where I worked. So I have experience in leadership, and I've been president and chair of committees and all sorts of things. Being the director of a nonprofit, of managing, you know, hygienists and assistants was tough. The dentists were the easier ones, if I'm being honest. They were the easier ones. And there were things where I had to check myself, and I was like, ooh, that's on me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I, like, let my emotions get the best of me. Yeah, it was tough. But I will say it's hard coming in as the new person. For me, like, it was that they had employees there that had been there a long time. All of them were hired by the person who started the clinic. Mm. That person was also the person who hired me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't replacing her. She was choosing to leave. And so it was very interesting because they, you know, liked her so much, loved her, and didn't like me as her replacement, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think they necessarily gave me the grace. But I am somebody who is a change maker. I am somebody who's like, hey, here's some problems. Here's some things we need to do to improve. We could do to improve them, yeah. You know? And they didn't like that. And maybe that was my fault. Maybe I came in too hot, you know, wanting to improve things or change things. I don't know. But I do think that, well, I'll tell you what, the thing was hard. Like, they would go out and they would have lunch without me. Mm. And it was a small team. It was like four of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they were talking about how, like, they were all going to go out and, like, do things, and then they wouldn't include me. And that was, like, hard for me emotionally. And I remember I would, like, come to you and I would cry. I'd be like, what did I do? Like, why do they hate me so much?
Yeah.
It was such a hard role. And I'm like, I don't want to be the martyr, because I know that I definitely made mistakes, and I had to learn and grow and be better. And I think I did get better as I, like, learned. But, yeah, it was also really hard. Like, the team was just... sometimes they weren't very nice to me. I don't think that they gave me grace. And towards the end, though, I ended up hiring, like, new staff. And, like, they were my team. Mm-hmm. And things were so great. Like, Daisy, I would hire Daisy in an instant. When I have money, I would hire that girl. And she knows it. She knows I would hire her. Yeah. So it was just – it was different and interesting, because, like, there was one team member specifically who I knew didn't like me, and I really tried to give her grace and be on her side and, you know, do these things. At the end, she just quit on us without notice. It was just very, very, it was like a hard time. I wasn't perfect, and I knew there were moments I had to check myself, and I had to apologize to them for not being better. But it did teach me to give people grace, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely people that I wish I could go back and apologize to, but they ended up leaving. So, like, how I got into my position. So I was a dental assistant first there, and then became a hygienist. And so I was, like, I knew everyone there. Like, I was buddy-buddy. I was, like, I would go out to lunch with people, or people would ask me to go out to lunch. And then it was... when I got into my clinical operations manager position, which I don't even know if that was my official title. That was the title I gave myself. And then new people started coming aboard. And then no one would invite me to lunch because I was the boss, you know, so to say. But I was hurt. I was like, you know, do they not want to, like, hang out with me, talk to me? But then I had to, like...
there does need to be those boundaries.
Yeah. Then right? I realized, no, it's because they don't want to hear me. They don't want me to hear, like, their private stuff, which I get. But that took a little bit of time to get used to.
It's interesting. I worked with somebody who, we were both in leadership positions, and she was really close to one of the people there, and it would blind her in her decision making. When that person yes. would make, I was like, nope, that's wrong. That's not okay. No, well, that's going to hurt her feelings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that's not fair. Like, would we allow somebody else to do that? You know, we wouldn't, you know.
I think that's definitely the hard part with smaller offices. People knowing that friend boundary and that yeah. business coworker boundary.
Yeah.
Because definitely I sense that like amongst like coworkers and themselves amongst the team. But I would feel that way too about yeah. some people. Like I would like give one a excuse someone a little bit more or give them more grace than someone else.
Yeah.
It can be a blurry line when it's a small team.
Yeah, it's tough. And then I've worked with teams where like you can be a little bit of both, right? But you still have to know like where to draw the line. You still have to be respectful. You can't like cross that disrespectful line like yeah. with your boss, right? But you can be a team and you can still have some sort of friendship as long as you still have that respect.
Yes. When I was a dental assistant, I had the perfect team where we hung out outside of work. We went to lunch together. But when we're at work, we respected each other.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe that's because, well, my husband's a dentist. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm at work, it is not Lon. It's not like, I call him Kitty. He's not Kitty, right? Mm-hmm. It's Dr. Nguyen.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe I don't agree with everything, like the way he says things at the office. I wouldn't say those things the way that he says them. But he's Dr. Nguyen. I got to listen to what, you know, like what Dr. Nguyen says. And, you know, having that respectful boundary. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's like I forget. not that I forget, but I definitely feel more comfortable and I like will do things that I don't think I would normally do with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I was seeing a patient and I just kept going over the chat, like asking him questions. And he's like, do you need something? Kind of like, he's like, do you need me right now? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm done taking the x-ray. He's like, okay. Did you take full series? No. He's like, okay, go take the full series. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so then I go, I take the full series. I'm like, dumb. And then I go back to him and he's like, yes. I'm like, oh, like I'm done. He's like, okay, do you need me to do it right now? He was like with the patient. I was like, oh no, I guess I thought that you were going to come now. Like I don't know. My brain doesn't work when I'm around him. And yeah. I mean, duh. Like,
you're like on your A game, but not on your A game.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, hey, you know, like just. And normally I would probably go to an assistant first and tell them like, hey, like, what does Dr. Nguyen need to know where the procedures are? Because I don't work there regularly. You know, I was just like helping out. So. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. But even so, like, I do try to have, like, the respectful, like, he is Dr. Nguyen. I'm going to treat him like I would any other dentist. And so, but no, but that is a hard, like, boundary to cross. And I probably wouldn't work with him full time because I think that maybe if he did some things that they might carry over to home if he did something at work that bothered me, you know?
Yeah.
It is hard. No, but I think both. Like, I don't think we should give some sort of form of grace. But if you're a manager, if you're somebody in a leadership position, you also need to learn how to check yourself. You need to learn to think about the other person's perspective. Why is your team acting this way? Why maybe does your team feel this way?
Yes. Sometimes it's internal. I mean, it's not the team that's the problem, but something within the management system. And
yeah,
I've had to check myself.
Yeah. So both. Right. I will say, like, managing is hard. You know, we went to school for dental things, not to, like, manage people. Right. Yeah. That wasn't.
I have to say, like, what I did enjoy about it was that if I didn't have a patient, I had something to do, you know? Or, like, it's great seeing patients, but it's also nice to have a little break from being in that position all day. So I like that I was able to have both responsibilities, and I like knowing how things work and the inner workings of things. I like learning more. So I was glad to have that position. It just made it hard over time to be able to balance both and take care of both. Maybe. Now, I will say, like, I read some stuff on Facebook, and sure, I don't know both sides of the story, but some office managers are really mean.
Yeah.
And actually, I think it's better to have an office manager with a dental background versus some don't.
Oh, 100%.
Don't.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to, you know,
tell you what to do.
Yeah. When it doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
So that I do appreciate people having like leadership roles that have a dental background, because that makes communication a bit easier. And we're talking about things, have a better understanding.
The current nonprofit that I volunteer at, the manager is one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I was maid of honor at her wedding. Yeah. The only time I was ever maid of honor was at her wedding. Went to high school together. And when I initially started working there, like more seriously, I really didn't want to, because I was afraid it was going to impact our friendship. Mm-hmm. Because I know how hard that can be. And she's actually a really good boss.
Yeah.
That A, like, did not at all. She didn't micromanage. She obviously did her job, made sure we were doing our job. Yeah, she wasn't at all like that. And so I really enjoyed working with her and for her. And I also felt like she would come to me on things that I have like an area of expertise. Like she reached out to me recently, actually, and she asked me that she had a patient, and she asked me about signs for abuse and what I would do in this like particular situation. And I was able to give her advice. And so I appreciate that. I was like, as like, you know, like her employee, she would still know that I have knowledge and, you know, I can be of support in other ways. She'd say like, hey, Amber, I need help recruiting volunteers, or we need help doing this, or what do you think about that? And like, I appreciated that.
Yeah. She had respect for you, which, yes, of course. But, yeah. But just saying, from like the office manager or a managerial position to employee, I know some offices aren't blessed with that. And certainly sometimes it can be hard to talk to them as well, or harder approach, because they have this higher position. So you think maybe like you can't tell them exactly what you're feeling because of job in jeopardy.
Yeah.
You know, that can be hard, but then also think that's sort of a red flag too.
I actually told one of my bosses, I called her out. Mm-hmm. And she's one of my favorite bosses now.
Yeah.
But when she was kind of rude to me, she made me cry. And I basically told her like, I work really hard for you. I do a good job for you. And like, I don't deserve for you to talk to me or treat me this way or be this way. She got upset over something like really, really silly. And, you know, and I'm like, I was just trying to be helpful. I wasn't like, it's not like I did something like wrong. And she like wanted to talk about it in that moment. And in that moment, I was like, no, like, I'm going to cry. Like, yeah. I need to like go.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I told her, I was like, you know, that I didn't appreciate how she talked to me. And, you know, I do well by her and blah, blah. Anyways, at the end of the day, she sends me a text message and she tells me that she's sorry, that she apologized and that she understood like where she was wrong. And she asked me to be, she's like, can you be my checker? Can you check me? If you see that I'm out of line, if you see that I'm like being irrational, can you let me know? Like, call me out, basically.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Okay. And I, like, since then, I loved working with her and I have the highest respect for her. She was a tough boss in the sense that she had high expectations of you, but she always let you know what those expectations were. Now, whether you measured up, that was up to you.
Yeah.
I was willing to like be up for the challenge and measure up to what she wants. She pushed me in a very good way. She was a great mentor. She was obviously not perfect. None of us are, but she did so much for me in my career. I learned so much from her, and I always appreciate like that maturity that she had in that moment to be like, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, and in the future, if this happens again, let me know.
And I think that shows how I love that story, because we sometimes can't see what the other person sees, or we're going through something where we don't know how we're reacting affects the other person. And like, two people communicate differently, right? Or there's the whole those five love languages book, right? We all have a different way in feeling appreciated. Maybe something, it's like you want your office to give you a gift. That's how you feel appreciated. Maybe you want them to tell you good job every day. That's how you feel appreciated. Everyone's different. And so sometimes when things get frustrating or you don't understand something, it's because of that communication.
Yeah.
And there is a way to approach it. I think it was great that you're like, wait, you know, time out. Because that, because if you were to get in the conversation at the height of your emotions, that could have been completely different than maybe, you know, an hour later. So I always encourage that, to talk in a respectful manner, just to understand, like, because maybe you were told to do one thing that you didn't want to do, but then there was a reason behind it that you don't know about.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be able to know until you had the conversation.
I think we also all have things going on in our life that we just don't know about, right? And so it could be a fluke. It could be like this one time she had a bad day and this is why she acted this way, right? And so we correct that.
Yeah.
But I'm also the type of person to be like, hey, I'd rather talk about it than, because I have two meters. I have the very extreme, like, let's tackle this on right now and fix it, or I'm going to cast you out and I'm not going to talk to you ever again. Hmm. Like, I'm like quick to like set those boundaries and be like, okay, you showed me. And especially like if you are not significant in my life, like if you're not a close friend, if you are not a family, if you're not a coworker, if you're somebody from social media who I kind of know in passing and you show me who you are, I'm going to believe you that first time. Mm-hmm. And that will be the last interaction that I have with you, like openly. That's how I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's like a right thing to be.
But, let me call you out on that.
But I mean, I don't know. I'm 37 now. Or almost 37, you know, I've got a family, I've got a husband, I got plenty of problems. I don't have time for passive aggressive nonsense.
I don't have time for drama.
I don't have time for you to tell me indirectas. I don't know how to say indirectas in English, but like jabs, to throw jabs at me and be like, ha ha ha. Nah.
That's like passive aggressive.
Yeah, that's passive aggressive comments. Yeah. No. Or to do me wrong and waste my space, my mind space. Nope, I ain't got, nope. I'm trying to live a good life here.
Yeah.
I'm getting close to 40, which is crazy, right? Like at this point, like, is that where midlife crisis happened? Because that's how I'm feeling right now. I just don't want to waste any time dealing with nonsense if I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
On the other side of that, if I think there's a problem, I'm like, let's figure it out. You and I are really good about that with each other.
Yeah.
I will say, like, we are one really good with each giving each other grace. And when I act out or you act out or we're in our moods, we know that it's not personal.
Yeah.
Like I know that like if I say something and then maybe it's aggressive, you know that I didn't mean it aggressively. Yeah. Right.
Or if I'm short with you, it's just because like I'm going through something. So I don't want to talk a lot.
Yeah. And so like I give you grace in those senses that I know that none of it is personal.
Yeah.
At the same time, like if we don't have many fights, but one time we had like a, I don't remember. It was in San Antonio. Do you remember?
No.
Oh, it was years ago. But I don't even remember what it was. Maybe it was a post. I don't remember. We had driven from Houston to San Antonio. It was a long drive. I was tired. And maybe it was an email. I don't remember. You wanted to do something, like get that work done that night. And I was just like, Angela, I just need to like sleep. Or I don't even know. It was like, I was just like really, really tired. And you like wanted to get the work done. And you were like pestering me about it.
Yeah. And I mean, I know I pester you sometimes.
And then the next day and I was like, okay, fine, Angela. And I did it. And you're like, no, it's fine. I was like, no, it's fine, Angela. I'm going to do it. And so I ended up doing it the next day. I think like maybe you apologized. And I was like, and then I don't remember. So I was like, no, I think I'm like, I was just, I told you, I was like, I was just tired. Like I needed a moment. I was going to do it. I just needed a moment to like breathe before doing it in that moment. And then like when you were pestering me about it, I was just like, fine, then I'm not going to do it. You
know? And then for me, it's like, I need to get it done. And that's why like being an office manager was hard for me. Cause it's like, if I had 10 things to do, I wanted to finish it right then and there.
Yeah.
But then I got 5 patients to see.
So. And so I think that was years ago.
I don't remember. Yeah. I mean, like, I vaguely remember, but not like as a fight, but just like, we were like a tiff.
And so, but we were able to talk about it, right? And now we both know that I need a moment first to get to the work and you like need to tackle things on, right? We're like good about talking about those things.
We learn each other's styles.
Yeah.
And that's what you learn like after being with coworkers for a while too. You learn how they communicate or how they train. I had to train dental assistants or a little bit of dental hygienists. It took a while, but I started to like learn that everyone learns differently and give them different avenues and how to learn. But I know, like, for some dental assistants, that made it frustrating because they're like, oh, three people are telling me three different things. And I'm like, hey, the only reason we're telling you three different things is because we're just sharing with you what worked for us. Yeah. But you pick what is going to work for you.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully, I mean, this whole conversation is not to tell you, like, if you're in a bad situation, if you're a toxic situation, if somebody's disrespectful to you, like, this is not to say, like, stay there. No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. But to, like, I think give people grace is important. But if it's disrespectful, if it's unsafe, then no. Like, cut it out, because they also have responsibility to grow and check themselves, as especially for people who are in leadership. That is their job. We'd love to hear from you all. Do you love your office manager? Do you hate your office manager? Since your stories.
Are you the office manager?
Are you office manager? Do you have leadership in your office, right? Are you, like, lead hygienist? Yeah, I'd love to hear. And if anybody needs advice on your particular, we'll keep you anonymous. Let us know. Tell us your story. Maybe you have good ones. Maybe you have bad ones. Maybe you have, like, juicy ones.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that. I'll tell that. Okay, my last story of office manager. Maxine Cordova, who was my co-author of my children's book, also a dental hygienist, the first practice I worked at as a dental assistant, she worked there. And she was initially assistant, and then they moved her to the front, and then they made her office manager. And she had to boss me around. Mm-hmm. And I was horrible to her. I was horrible. I gave her attitude. I didn't want to listen. We were 19. We're both 19. And I was, like, a few months older than her. So I think that it was karma. For me, like, later on when I became not office manager but director, like, the reason that sometimes my staff was out of, you know, a little not so nice to me was probably because I was not so nice to Max. So Max, I love you. I have paid for my sins. Thank you for listening to Positively Hygiene.
Join us every Tuesday for a new episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram for the opportunity for how you can contribute to our podcast.
And follow and review Positively Hygiene on Apple and Spotify Podcasts.